This is Crick Info Audio.
Welcome to Crick Info Audio. This is Amit Verma. Any follower of Indian cricket, as I am, would agree that we live in exciting times. Over the last few years, the way India plays this cricket has changed drastically. First under John Wright and Sourav Ganguly, and now under Greg Chappell and Rahul Dravid. To get a sense of how the Indian cricket team has changed in character from teams of years past, I met up with the historian Ramchandra Guha a few days ago at the Cricket Club of India in Mumbai. Ram is best known among cricket lovers for his brilliant book, A Corner of a Foreign Field, and he loves making hypothetical playing 11s, a foolproof sign of a true lover of the game.
Ram, thank you for speaking to us. As a historian, you've been studying Indian cricket teams over more than a century. How do you think in recent times they've changed in their approach and in the way they play the game?
I should say to begin with that I'm something of an outsider. In that I'm not a professional cricket journalist. I don't follow the team. I don't interact with the team. So I'm in between a layperson and a cricket writer in this sense. To answer your question, I think what's striking about Indian teams is that particularly in one-day cricket, they're much more focused. I think what's striking is how much more of a team they are. Till, I'd say, 7 or 8 years ago, Indian cricket was, you know, really characterized by individual brilliance, which occasionally gelled together. Three or four players played extremely well and we won a test match or whatever. But there wasn't a sense of the team as a unit. And one of the reasons there wasn't a sense of a team as a unit was that there were factions. The factions were sometimes oriented around great figures. So you had Gavaskar and his cohorts or Kapil Dev and his cohorts. Or they were oriented more often around region. So you had the Bombay clique, you had the Punjabis from North India, you had the South Indian lobby. I think all that is now gone. And I think that's a refreshing and remarkable change in Indian cricket. That the parochialism has completely gone.
Why do you think it's gone? Is it just a happenstance that these individuals around whom the cliques were built went out of the team, or do you think it's a change consciously fostered by certain individuals who took over?
I think there probably are several reasons. One is individuals. I think we were very fortunate in having a foreign coach. I think we did the right thing in getting a foreign coach and continuing with a foreign coach, because a domestic coach is prey to parochialism, local pressures, local demands. I think Ganguly was a genuinely non-parochial captain. I mean, the cynics may say it's because there was no one he could push from Bengal, but I think that's an unfair comment. I think he genuinely encouraged gifted, talented people wherever they are. And the third reason is that I think this is an under-acknowledged reason, and perhaps indeed maybe the most important reason, the fact that we play so much cricket. So these boys see each other all the time, and they don't, once they make it to the test team, they don't play Ranji Trophy cricket. So they stop being a Bombay cricketer because they don't play for Bombay in the 5 or 8 years that they're in a test team. Previously, the parochialism was because a Bombay player played much more with his Bombay colleagues and his club colleagues than he did because he played only an occasional test match or an occasional one-day match for India. Because these guys are playing 60 or 80 one-day matches, 8 or 9 test matches, 12 test matches a year, they're together all the time. Naturally, they bond much more.
Is the absence of parochialism the only significant way in which the team began to change under Ganguly and Wright?
Well, I think once you have an absence of parochialism, you tend to exalt much, to participate much more in other people's successes. You gel much more as a team, and then you do perform better. I think there's one other factor, that is, I think, again, it's to do with the increasing professionalization of cricket and the fact that players come in very early into the game. So, you know, I think many of the youngsters come in without a sense of the history of the game, and I think that's good. You know, paradoxically, even though I'm a historian, you know, when Sehwag and Dravid were close to the Mankad Roy record that evening, you know, I was interviewed and someone said, you know, will they break it? Sehwag was asked, the next day they didn't break it, and Sehwag was asked, he said he never heard of Mankad or he never heard of the record. I said, that's damn good, because that's why he plays the way he is. I mean, if his mind is burdened with history, it's cluttered up with all these facts about the great players of the past, then he can't play in this kind of, you know, completely spontaneous, carefree manner. And it's not just in history of Indian cricket. These players don't even know the history of world cricket. So, for example, as Harsha Bogle pointed out correctly, after our NatWest victory, which was in 4 or 5 years ago in England, which was achieved really by Kef and Yuvraj, these guys didn't know about Lords. I mean, they didn't know about history and tradition, so they weren't, you know, overwhelmed by it. They just played, you know, what came to them. So I think this, the fact that these are youngsters who don't have much of an education is actually to their advantage, because I think what they have is a cricketing education, which they learn on the field, and that serves them quite well.
That brings me to my next question. Are the kind of people who are playing for India these days, the youngsters who are coming into the side in the last 5-6 years, are they fundamentally different from the kind of players who would make their debuts in the decades past? And if so, why is that?
I think one of the differences, again, that goes back to the first point about the absence of parochialism, is that there's a much greater geographical spread. In terms of the catchment area of the Indian team has grown. So in any typical Indian team, I mean, in the old days, of course, there'd be 6 or 7 players from Bombay. I mean, that was something that ran from the 50s to the 70s. Then when Bishan Singh Bedi developed Delhi as a fighting unit, there was a time when there were 4 or 5 players from Delhi. Then later on, you'll recall about 10 or 12 years ago, there were 4 or 5 players from Karnataka. Now, you know, in a team of 11, I mean, it's quite surprising that UP has the most players, I think, now 3 or 4, right? But basically, they'll be from 6 or 7 different states. And I think there's been a kind of spread, a decentering of Indian cricket, and people coming in from all kinds of different small town backgrounds. And I think that certainly changed the character of the team.
But what has caused the spread? Would you attribute some of it to the economic liberalization of India, that the spread of satellite television? What do you think are the kind of causes?
Television has been crucial. I think, from the time I was growing up and playing cricket and now, I think what the difference is that if we are talking now in the CCI, you just go outside. You don't even have to go as far as the Maidan, but on the road, there'll be some chaps playing tennis ball cricket. And you see, particularly the batsmen, their technique is perfect. You know, because they've seen it on television. They know, where the back lift comes from, what kind of footwork to use, when to play back, when to play forward. And these are things that were unknown when we were growing up, because we had no models. I mean, you can't really learn a technique from studying a magazine, right? Either you have to have a proper coach, you have to go to a school and, you know, a coach, or, you just play cross bat to whatever comes easiest to you. And I think television has played a very important role. Wherever you are, you can learn the basic elements of the game. I think also the enormous financial enhancement. The fact that cricketers make so much money nowadays, there's so much prestige attached to the game. Indeed, cricketers are more important than film stars, judging by the endorsements they do, has also created a burning ambition, not only in players. Of course, that's been noticed. You know that someone that, Harbhajan Singh from Jalandhar wants to play for India, or Debashish Mohanty from Cuttack wants to play for India, and the ambition that I want to play. It also creates a burning ambition among coaches. So there's a chap in Cuttack who says, I'm going to produce a test player. You know, whereas 25 years ago, he would never have had this ambition, because it had been needed and felt he had a defeatist kind of attitude. Bombay always win the Ranji Trophy. The team will always have Bombay players. So I think it's also had this kind of motivation coming in from different small towns.
Coming back to the question of parochialism, I remember when we were chatting in Bangalore last year when Pakistan was touring India, you mentioned to me that Dravid was perhaps the only vice captain in India's history who wasn't actively plotting for the top job. One of the things that distinguished the first 3 or 4 years when Ganguly and Wright were in charge was the absence of politics within the Indian side. Now, this seems to have drastically changed within the last 1 year, which brings me to the question, A, of why that sort of changed, and B, on whether the gains that Indian cricket has made, whether they are reversible.
I think we did go through a period of several months in which there was a lot of muck and dirt being thrown around. And, it was partly because we had a new management. I mean, it was clear that Dravid was the best candidate for captaincy. But Ganguly had been a very successful captain, and Indians don't know how to retire, you know, and Ganguly wanted to stay on. But this was caught up in the board politics, that, you know, Ganguly was backed by Dalmia, and Dalmia's group had been regnant in the board for several years, and now it was threatened by the Pawar group and Dravid. So it got caught up in all of this, and that was unfortunate, that what is a straightforward decision, you know, captaincy, should get caught up in, who's the board president and the board secretary and the big bosses in the board. So there was a murky and dirty period. But I think we've come out of it. You know, I think the press played it up, and there was some Bengali chauvinism involved. I mean, and, you know, the incident of Chapel in Calcutta and, whatever, making a gesture interpreted as rude and so on. But I think we've got over it. I think the gains in that sense are probably not reversible. I think we overcome that bitterness. I think it's clear now to everyone, including to the Association of Bengal, that Ganguly will not be captain of India again. It's also clear that Ganguly understands this and respects it, and he respects Dravid. And if he performs well with the bat, he can come back as a batsman in the short term. So I think at the same time, Dravid, like Ganguly, is non-parochial. I think, so that spirit that was inculcated by, by the combination of an independent foreign coach who's independent because he's foreign, and a captain who's not parochial, I think that will continue.
A lot of the gains that we made in terms of professionalism and attitude change in the last few years were because of individuals. First Ganguly and Wright, and then Dravid and Chappell. Do you think the continuation of the process is dependent on individuals? Is it the case that the trend is irreversible and is going to continue no matter what?
Well, I think some parts of the trend are irreversible. I think the decentralization of cricket has proceeded apace. I think we will never have a situation where one state is going to give 7 or 8 players. I think that's very healthy and good. At the level of leadership, individuals do matter. I think it's fair to say that certainly compared to other sports like, shall we say, football or hockey, other team sports, a captain's job in cricket is much, much more important. I mean, it's important at the level of tactics, it is the level important at the level of human relations and man management, and so on. And Ganguly and Dravid, in different ways, have been first-class captains. I mean, it's clear that Ganguly and Dravid, as captains, are superior to, shall we say, Tendulkar and Azharuddin, right? Who may have been better cricketers, or as good cricketers, and so on. And the succession is right. I think we needed Ganguly, and now we need Dravid, to consolidate. Now, what happens after that? We may not get such a good captain, or we can't say. The jury's out on the younger players, but individuals do matter at the level of captaincy and management. So the systems can be reformed, but ultimately you do have to have... But at the same time, I would say we do need some systemic reform still. I mean, I personally think that we play far too much cricket. I mean, I personally think that, and I've been saying this for a long time, that we need the international players to play the domestic game, at least the knockout, as the Australians do. That, we need to really rethink our scheduling. I think there's a great amount of greed, financial greed, at the level of the board, at the level of players who don't know how long their careers are going to last. So, they have a vested interest in playing 80 matches in the year. I think it's hard on them. It's hard, particularly on bowlers. I mean, you can see people, fast bowlers breaking down and all kinds of other things. So I think we do still need some systemic reform, I think, to sustain the gains that have been made.
But do you think it's realistic that such systemic reform will happen, given that all the incentives are skewed against it? I mean, now that Lalit Modi is speeding up the commercialization of the game, so to say, is it really possible?
I think, of course, seems unlikely, but I think it's important for cricket writers, cricket lovers, the media, to keep up the pressure for systemic reform. And Jagmohan Dal was not known for his love or knowledge of cricket. He was known for being a first-rate entrepreneur. And we do need some entrepreneurial skills. I mean, if Lalit Modi is simply going to be another Jagmohan Dalmia, I think that will be unfortunate.
Thank you for speaking to us.
That was Ramchandra Guha placing the Indian team in a historical perspective. For more of our audio programming, do visit cricinfo.com/audio. And feel free to send in your feedback to audio@cricinfo.com. I'm Amit Verma, signing off on Cricinfo Audio.
This is Cricinfo Audio.